In my discussion of canonical models, I want to use the following result. So if E is a number field, say, if we have a variety over E, we get a variety over the complex numbers plus an action of the automorphisms of C over E on the complex points. And the result I want to use is that this is fully faithful. So in other words, to give a map of varieties over E is the same as to give a map of varieties over the complex numbers, which commutes with the action of the automorphism of C on the complex points. I should mention there's a rather subtle point about which pairs actually come from here, but on maps this is okay. And for a proof of this, if in the case that you have one field and an algebraic closure of the field, this statement is in, I think it's in Borel's book on linear algebraic groups. The same argument works in this generality once one knows that everything not in the complex number gets moved by an automorphism of. And this, for this, you need the axiom of choice in order to construct transcendence bases. I should say that Deligne avoids this statement, at some cost, I should say, presumably because he doesn't like using the axiom of choice unless he really has to. I think he avoids it because whenever he gets to a place where it will be natural to apply this, he just leaves it as an exercise to the reader. So last time I defined a canonical model for the whole Chamorro variety, so the whole universe system. In fact, it makes sense to talk about canonical models just for one of the pieces. So I'll state that again. So again, we have the usual setup where we have a Chamorro datum and K a compact open. Maybe it caused confusion last time that K changed its meaning in the last few lectures, but now it's a compact open again. So we have a Chamorro variety, and so this is the quotient. Considered as a algebraic variety of the complex numbers. And then we'll say a model of this. Same definition as last time, basically a model MK of, let's leave out the, of this over the reflex field is canonical if for all special pairs, I'll say it this way this time. So remember, this in particular means that T is a torus defined over, sub-torus of G can defined over Q, and the HX factors through TR. And A belong to GAF. So we have the point. This is a point in here, and therefore it's a complex point of the model. So this model is defined over this. So a complex point, to make sense to talk about, this has coordinates in the maximal beam extension of the reflex field of X. And sigma X, we have this rule here. So this is for all. So sigma belongs to the Galois group of EX AB over EX, and S belongs to AEX, the Ardels, the full Ardels, if you like, of or edels, really. And they're related by sort of the reciprocity map in class field theory. And remember, Rx is a map from here to TAF. So the model is canonical if for every special pair and every point in here. Huh? Yeah, I'm going to prove uniqueness, then I'm going to say what the meaning is. Okay. Huh? Actually, no. Actually, yes, as far as uniqueness is concerned, but no as far as existence is concerned. Yeah, for proving uniqueness, yeah, I mean, the point is why this map here in particular. So I'm going to first prove uniqueness, and then as far as proving uniqueness is concerned, it doesn't matter what Rx, this map Rx is. But I'll discuss why this definition, okay? it's probably... You do it in the other order, but I'll prove uniqueness first. So, Yeah. So you want to? Well, it's well defined because I started with an X and an A. But your point is correct that this really only makes sense if somehow if I start off with an A at least, that gives me the same point, then this should give me the same point. And in fact, if this conjecture is true that these things exist, one should be able to check that directly. Well, one can check it directly, but I won't. I mean, the point is that if you put a Q in here, then it stabilizes this, then more or less it has to belong to P and therefore commutes with that. That's the point. But yeah, you're right, there's a point there. But we don't need to check that because we're going to prove. But I do start with an X and an A and write this down. But you're right, that if two A's give you the same point here, you should be able to check directly that they give the same point here. But they do, in fact, give the same point. But as is also pointed out, this definition only makes sense if there are special points. So let me explain why there exist special points. So there exist special points. So remember what a special point was. So special point just meant that the H factored through the real points of a torus defined over Q. So if I start off with an X belong to X, then I certainly have this contained in TR for some torus defined over the real numbers. So I mean, this is a torus sitting inside there, so it's contained inside a maximal torus. And so the problem is to somehow adjust X so that the T actually belongs down in Q. So the observation is that T, just from the theory of the algebras and stuff, T is a centralizer. Of a regular element and it's Lie algebra. Regular means, well, regular means it has this, well, in fact, this will be true for any more or less general element in here. So this is in the Lie algebra, so regular element in here. So the Well, and T contain inside DG. So I guess what I'm saying is there's a regular element in here, such that if you look at the things in here which centralize it, you only get T. So you can take the adjoint action on the Lie algebras. There's an element in there which is centralizer is this. Now the point is that the Lie algebra is just a real vector space, so these things are real vector spaces, and this one's actually, we have the Lie algebra is actually a Q vector space because G is defined over Q. So I can choose a regular, so I just choose a lambda belong to Lie G, which is close to lambda when you go back over the real numbers. And then I look at the, so I define T0 to be the centralizer of this lambda, the lambda 0 on Lie G. So I choose something in the rational vector space, which over the real numbers becomes very close to the lambda up there. Then I take T0 to be the centralizer of this in G. And because lambda 0 is close to a regular element, this will be regular again. So this, in fact, will be a maximal torus. And in fact, you can show that if it's close to this one, it will actually be that T0, if you look it over R, it'll be conjugate to the one we started off with. So when you go over to R, these two are centralizers of regular elements that are close together. And so if I take, GH, X, G inverse, C cross belongs to, is contained inside T0R. That's the proof. Now, the only thing that's subtle about this is that if you take two tori over an algebraically closed, maximal tori over an algebraically closed field, they're automatically conjugate. That's no longer true of the real numbers. But you can look at the maximal tori in a real group, and they have a structure, and they fall into connected components. And if you take two that are close together in some sense, and for example in this sense, they are in fact conjugate. So that's the proof. So it uses only relations, a bit of a relation between maximal tori and regular elements and the algebras. But we'll need some. So they exist, but we need something stronger than that. And what we need is that if L contained in C is a finite extension, of the reflex field, then there exists X special such that its reflex field is linearly disjoint from that. So in particular, its intersection with L is EGX. So the proof is in Deligne Bourbaki talk. And it takes two pages. It's the same idea as this, except he uses the Hilbert irreducibility. So from the point of view of GL2, the first one out there just says that there is a, since the special points correspond to quadratic imaginary extensions, the first one doesn't say anything, it just says there exists a quadratic imaginary extension of Q. The second one says that if you have a finite extension of Q, then there exists a quadratic imaginary extension, which is linearly disjoint from it, which is pretty easy to prove. But in the general case, it requires a bit of argument. So the other thing that one needs really, in order to have a hope of uniqueness, is that we're not just there exist some special points, but somehow these are dense. In fact, they are dense. So the next lemma is that if I consider the points of this form in a space like that, so I'm fixing x, so this is fixed, and a belongs to GAF. This is dense in that double coset space. So I just mean this double coset space up there. And dense I mean in a complex topology, which is the best. So it's dense in the complex topology, and therefore it's dense in the Zariski topology. And the proof of this, well, they write the double coset space as, if you look at it as GQ, so it's just this is a complex manifold times this discrete space, and GQ is acting, and the point is that the real approximation theorem says that GQ is dense in GR, and therefore it implies that GQ X is dense in X. And that implies the density. Given any point in here, I can choose a Q such that Q times X is very close to this one, and I can just choose the A so it's close to whatever was in there, and so it's dense. Everybody remembers this because it's so easy to remember. So now the key lemma . So suppose I have compact open subgroups in GAF. Suppose I have a G belong to GAF, and the condition I want is that K prime contains G inverse K G. What does that condition mean? It means that if I look at the quotients, and if I write multiply by I send XA to XAG, then this gives me a well-defined map from here to X cross GAF over K prime. Because I wrote them down right, so. Normally one says that this goes, if I put it, this naturally goes to this with this in here, but if this is bigger, then it still works. So I represent, the point is if I represent two points the same way, then if I represent one point two different ways, then I get the same result over here. This is well defined. So I get a map like this. So let's call it this map phi. And the statement is that if this variety and this variety, so both these varieties have canonical models in that sense over there, over EGX. So what I'm saying in particular, this is a variety over C that comes from a variety over EGX, and the variety satisfies that condition over there. So we have a map from of the complex numbers of two varieties which are defined over EGX, so I can make, it makes sense to say that C is actually defined over, is defined over, over EGX. We have a map between two complex varieties, and the complex varieties actually come from, by assumption, from varieties over EGX. So it makes sense to say that this in fact is a regular map. The regular map is defined over here. And according to what I just erased, all I have to do is prove that the map C commutes with the action of automorphisms of the complex numbers. So let's take a special point and see what happens. And we take A belong to GAF, and we want to see at least that if I start off with x0 ak, then I can apply c to it, and according to the recipe up there, I get x0 ag, the class on the right-hand side, or I can apply sigma to it. So I take a sigma, which is an automorphism of the complex numbers, but it's fixing this, the reflex field for this point here. So that's the situation. Now, if I apply sigma to this point here, according to a recipe over there, it just gives me x0 rx s rx0 s times a. Well, let's write it all down. So if I apply, so this is if I apply sigma here, well, that's the same recipe, so that gives me x0 rx sag k prime, and if I apply c across here, I get the same thing. Completely trivial. So these are equal. So what it means, in other words, by definition, sigma phi is sigma is that. So what this means is that if I apply sigma phi, or whether I apply sigma phi or phi to a point of this type, I get the same answer. So in other words, phi and sigma phi have the same action on points like this. And now we use this thing here. So if these two maps, so they're maps of varieties from this algebraic variety to that algebraic variety, and they agree on a Zariski dense set of points, then they agree everywhere. So this means that sigma phi is equal to phi on the whole of, on the whole thing. This is the difference. This is what I mean by sigma phi. It's the same as if phi is given by some polynomials. It's the same as applying sigma to the coefficients of the polynomials. Okay. This is the definition, if you like. In other words, if sigma phi is equal to phi, it means that phi commutes with sigma, which is what I was saying. Yeah. Yeah. That's bigger field than it. So we're not done, right? So we're making progress. So for sigma is fixing, so if I take a special point, then if I look at the sigma as automorphism to complex numbers fixing the reflex field for the special point, then sigma phi is equal to phi for those sigmas. But then the lemma theorem of Deligne's I quoted up here tells me that such sigmas generate all the automorphisms fixing EGX. Okay, yeah? No. Well, okay, so so I mean, if I restrict it to E. Okay. Do you like? So I'm cutting a corner a little bit, but yeah. So the point is, this belongs to here, and if I look at sigma restricted, it's okay. The point is, sigma acts through this the quotient by the assumption. Yeah. So that's the proof. Very easy. Provided one has this only difficult point is that you have special points, lots of special points. More than, okay. So from this key lemma, we can read off everything. So this is, of course, they don't have canonical models, it doesn't say anything. But as far as uniqueness is concerned, so consequences. First consequence is that if this has a canonical model, it's unique. Has only one. So the point is, so I just apply this statement over here with k equal to k prime and g equal to 1. So that means we have the same variety here, but I might be taking two different canonical models, and this tells me that the identity map is actually defined over EGX, and it's got to be an isomorphism. Okay. So I just take k prime and g equal to 1. The second thing which will cause a good deal of relief is that if each of these varieties has a canonical model in that sense there, then the whole system has a canonical model in the sense I defined yesterday. Because if each of these ones has a canonical model, then if you take G to be equal to 1, then all the projection maps, all the quotient maps are regular and defined over the reflex field, and all the actions of something in GAF are all defined over the reflex field, and that's what I meant by this having a canonical model. So this means that if you want, if you can prove one by one that each of these things has a canonical model, then the whole system has a canonical model automatically. Okay. So you don't have to think about this whole inverse system and GIF acting on it. You only have to think of one variety at a time. Okay. So there are more uniqueness. That's enough. Maybe I that will do. So, and certainly, nowhere in proving uniqueness did I use Rx. Now, what's the definition of Rx? This is all kind of abstract. I want to see what all this means. Maybe I'd point out first that if we start off with a torus, so according to Deligne's definition, every time we have a torus over Q and an H here, then I get a Shimura variety, and the points are just same game. So this is just in fact a finite set. I think I mentioned that. Now the thing about the theorem I had at the start about varieties over E and varieties over the complex numbers is one case where you know that that's an equivalence of categories, and that is for varieties of dimension 0, provided you still need some continuity condition, but it's okay. So varieties of dimension 0, well, to give a variety of dimension 0, for example, over Q is the same as to give a bunch of points over Q bar plus a continuous action of the Galois group. Now, in this case, we have a reflex field, and I defined this map. So the reflex field is just a field of definition of the corresponding mu. And I had this map, so try writing Rx. So where did that go from? It went from, on the idyllic level, it went from the ideals here to the points here, to the general construction, to the points here. And so a canonical model for this is simply a canonical model here just is the same thing as an action. So to give a canonical model of a finite set of points is just the same thing as to give an action of a Galois group. So I'll define an action of the Galois group of ETH ab over ETH on that by simply saying that by the formula we had. So sigma, well, there's only one point H, but let's leave it in. where, again, you have sigma in here, and S is in here, and it maps the sigma by the reciprocity law. So, in this case, we do have canonical models. So the canonical model is simply the zero-dimensional variety over ETH, such that when you go up to the Bn, maximal Bn extension of ETH, then the action of the Galois group is given by this formula here. Okay, so in this case, canonical models exist. So just the variety, canonical model of this thing is the variety of dimension zero over ETH, over this reflex field, such that when you go to the maximum Bn extension, you get this collection of this finite set of points with this action in the Galois group. So another way of describing canonical models is for, I could have said, well, this is the canonical model of the of a Chamorro variety defined by a torus, and I'll say that a model for another pair, GX, is canonical if every time I have a Chamorro datum like this with a torus in here sitting inside GX, the canonical model here, this map, is defined over the reflex field of this one, which is maybe bigger than the reflex field of this. So, in other words, each Chamorro variety has lots of, since there are lots of special points, each Chamorro variety has lots of sub-Chamorro varieties defined by tori, and these sub-Chamorro varieties have canonical models, the dimension zero, and there's no, you just simply define them in this fashion, and you could have defined the canonical model of a Chamorro variety in general to be a model such that when you look at these sub-Chamorro varieties, then all these maps are defined over the reflex field of this one. Okay. Now, what happens when I take a pair coming from a CM type? So, CM types. So suppose I have a CM field, and a CM type, then I can define a Chamorro variety by taking T to be TE, so remember this is the torus over Q such that TEQ is equal to E cross. And we saw last time, I think, that this is, that the phi, in fact, defines an isomorphism of this with C cross, and I simply define H phi to be the map that sends this to this, and the composite here is this. Now in this case, the reflex field, so the reflex field is the sort of E, TH is what I was writing E star before. It's the field fixed by the stabilizer of the CM type. Now, in this case, we have another interpretation of the point. So the points are E cross, and then we better put this one point set in, and then T. So with this particular torus, the points of the Shamor variety corresponding to compact open are just this. And I claim that there's a that this parameterizes, well let's say it classifies triples AI e to k, where AI, the pair AI is an abelian variety of CM, of CM type EC. And as far as isomorphism is concerned, we think of this as actually lying in the category where we tensor homomorphisms with Q. And what's eta? Eta is a, well, eta k is a is an orbit, k orbit of, ah, so I should choose a, that makes sense, I should choose a one-dimensional E vector space. That's not much of a choice. You could choose a one-dimensional V vector, E vector space, call it V. So you could take E to be equal to V to be equal to E, but if I did that, then we would get confused. So probably get confused anyway. But so eta was a map from here to H1A AF. And it's supposed to be an E tensor AF isomorphism. And the point is that K, things in K act here, and we only consider it up to. So we have, it's an isomorphism like this, and we consider the orbit of it. And there's a natural way of making these things into, making an isomorphism of things like this. And the point is, by classifying, I mean that there's a natural correspondence between the points of that setup there and the triples like this up to isomorphism. Now, I claim that there's a natural action of automorphisms of the complex numbers on triples like this. So most of it's okay. So if I have an abelian variety and this is all defined over the complex numbers. I have an automorphism of the complex numbers. I can just apply sigma to everything and I get a sigma AI, meaning you just apply sigma to the coefficients of the polynomials defining everything. What about, how do I apply sigma to eta? Well, the point is that if we write A as C to the phi over some lambda, then H1 A lambda is just H1 of AF, I should say. As we discussed, this is home of, and this is canonically isomorphic to this homes of this into AF. But this is canonically isomorphic by, so this is home Z. By linear algebra, this is canonically isomorphic to homes over AF of lambda tensor AF into AF. And lambda tensor AF is just canonically isomorphic to VF AF. VFA. Remember, this was something you got from TFA and by tensoring with Well, would you like to tensor with AF over G hat? So in other words, PF is built, PFA is built up as inverse limit of points of finite order. So we already discussed that there's a map from VFA to VF sigma A. If you have a point on A, then you get a point on sigma A. So this is the Tate module, and this is the Tate rational Tate module. So a map like this. So identifying this with this, then we get a map the other way, and so we get a, we can compose this map with, there is a map here using this, all these identifications. So let's call it sort of the dual of sigma. And this map across here, I will write sigma applied to eta, except the so given a triple like this and a sigma automorphism of the complex numbers, I get a new triple. Should be K. So this is something coming from algebraic geometry. Okay. So, well, the fact that my claim is, well, we saw it in some cases before. This is analogous to the PEL case and so on and so forth. So the point is this. The setup here classifies in a natural way triples like this. In other words, 1-1 correspondence between the points here and the triples like this up to isomorphism classes of triples. Now we have two actions. We have an action on the set on the left by this game over here with the Rx's and the construction that we gave in the construction of complex models. We have an action of automorphism of complex numbers on triples like this. And I claim that what I call the main theorem of complex multiplication is the statement that these two actions are the same. So the another way we have two actions, we have the top set identified with isomorphism classes of triples like this. And we have an action of the Galois group of the automorphism of the complex numbers on the thing on the left just by this group theoretic construction that just involves algebraic groups and things that doesn't involve the BM varieties. Then we have another action on the triples, which does, of course, involve algebraic geometry. And the main theorem of complex multiplication is that these two actions are the same. Shimura Tanyama, if you like. So that explains. So the way to think of this map Rx, which is floating around, it's some general group theoretic construction, which in this particular case comes down to the thing given by algebraic geometry from the theory of complex multiplication. So now let's look at the Ziegel case. So for the Ziegel case, so For that, we need a vector space over Q, and we need a non-degenerate skew symmetric form on it. And then we had the group of symplectic similitudes. And then we had X, which had various interpretations. Complex structures on V tensor R, which were positive relative to psi, or and so on and so forth. Now, in this case, it's a fairly easy calculation. If I had a little more time, I would do it. But the reflex field is just Q. Now, in this case, we saw that this classifies triples, triples again. So what were they? They had A, I think, called it T, and A to K again. So the what was A? A was just any abelian variety. Yeah, A is an abelian variety of the complex numbers. T was a Riemann form. On H1AQ, and eta k was eta was an isomorphism from VAF to the rational Tate module tensor, super Tate module tensored with Q. This is an isomorphism, and it had to have the property that here we have a skew symmetric form. And because of this isomorphism here, we have a skew symmetric form. And so these have to correspond up to a constant non-zero constant in AF cross, right? Okay. So classifies triples, I mean that there's a natural way of saying two such things are isomorphic. The point was that again, none of this we think of this as being an A varieties with a zero up here, meaning that we look at Holmes tensored with Q. Now, again, there's a natural action. So there's a natural action of automorphisms of complex numbers on things on the right. The only trick is here is that how does it act on a Riemann form? So the point is, I think I'll just say it and maybe explain it a little more in the notes. So the point is that Riemann forms correspond to to certain devices. So I can't remember, how did I write this? I do a Riemann form on here. That would make it, yeah, I probably did. So I put a lower one. So it's so this is something in H2AQ. And the point is that it's known that Riemann forms correspond to ample divisors on A. So the point is that, in other words, that the T corresponds to a class in here, and this is the class of a divisor on A. So T is equal to the class of a divisor, the cohomology class. Of an algebraic divisor. So, in other words, it's something defined by polynomial equations, so we can apply automorphisms to the complex numbers on it. So there's an action of complex numbers on things on the right and things on the left. Now, what we should do is we should, under this correspondence between points here and triples like that, what do the special points up here correspond to? Well, I claim that the special points so if you have x1 with X special, then they correspond to triples like this, where A is a BM variety of CM type. So what do I mean by a BM variety of CM type? I need something slightly more general than what I was discussing before. What I mean is that, so A is a BM variety of CM type if, so this means that there exists a product of CM fields. And an embedding I into N0A such that H1AQ is free of dimension 1, is free of rank 1. So the special points correspond to BM varieties of CM type. And so they're just slightly more general than we're considering, but the same game works in this generality where you have products of CM fields rather than just one CM field. And so we have an action of automorphisms of the complex numbers on the right-hand side there. And the theory of complex multiplication gives you an explicit description of that action in the case that A is of CM type. In other words, A corresponds to a special point here. Now, let me state the theorem. suppose that this has a canonical model in this case. Well, has a model, never mind canonical. Has a model MK over Q such that the action of what C on MK Q bar, which is just the same as C. Suppose you, this has a model over Q, such that the action of automorphisms of the complex numbers on this thing is the natural action given by that correspondence up there. Then MK is the canonical model. So if this does have a model over Q, such that the action of automorphisms of C are the natural action, in other words, given by this algebraic geometry on the right here, then MK is the canonical model, and the proof of this is precisely Shimura Taniyama. The point is Shimura Taniyama tells you how automorphisms of the complex numbers act on triples like that when A is of CM type. Triples like that when A is of CM type correspond to special points here. And the definition of the Rx and so on was carefully designed so that this term, the actions correspond. So that's really the significance of the condition.